In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Don't Blame Me, where we, two gorgeous, stunning, wonderful women, we give you advice that may or may not change your life, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part.
Because that's the only way you're getting rid of me.
No, without a doubt. First of all, I also have committed that, like, I do need to die before anyone else I love and care about dies, because, like, I'm just, like, not equipped for that, you know?
I've started thinking about that. Recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
No, it's just like, I just like don't really think it's the right time or the vibe. Like, I just need like everyone to just like stay put, and like we can circle back at a later date if like anything is gonna change, but like just like can we not?
Yeah.
So
yeah, anyway,
on a lighter note, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Megan.
My name's Melissa,
and together we are an unstoppable. I just tried to expand this and I just minimized the whole window of this. And I was like, where'd you go?
I hate it. It's jarring. I hate when you accidentally click that one.
Also, yeah, they make it so dramatic.
Okay. So I like Mac. I do think they're superior to Microsoft as far as like computers go. If I'm not a gamer, I know for gaming, you need a different computer. Mm-hmm. I am a gamer. I'm a mobile gamer, though.
Join our Patreon and play Monopoly Go with us.
Uh-huh.
Finish a new sticker pack this morning.
Also, I realized that Monopoly Go is also by the same people that do my Marvel game, so that's probably why I love them both. Shout out to Scopely. Actually, you're not great with the Marvel stuff because you've started making things way too expensive now that they've opened it up to level 100. It's getting too high. So please bring the prices down. I'm not paying, and that's why I quit a few years ago, because I was paying too much, and I haven't paid for the last 2 years that I've been back. But yes, your graphics are amazing. Thank you so much. But going back to what I was saying, I don't like these three little dots that we have in the corner for Windows on Apple stuff. I don't think they make sense. And this is the reason why I hated Mac at first when they brought them to my school and we were forced to use them instead of Microsoft or Windows, I should say. So can you just steal that from Windows and bring that over? And then we keep everything else the same. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a big issue with things that change color or do whatever once you put your mouse over them and they hover. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, because I'm not going to remember. I need you to label these things, not just when I need them. Because the issue is when I need them, I need to find them. And if you're not telling me where they are, then how am I supposed to fucking find them? You only find them when you need. You only need them when you find them, and you find them when you need them. Like, it's just too hard. It's too stressful. So I co-sign that wholeheartedly. I have no transition. This is a podcast where we give advice and, we have multiple ways that you can participate. If you've never listened before, we have voicemails where people call in, tell us what's happening in their life, and we will try and solve their problems. Or you can send us an email written out as well as a DM. And we have voice memos that can be sent to our email. I had a burp. Voice memos.
Oh, I thought you were coughing, but I was like, no cough came out. Cause that's usually what you do for a cough, but no cough came.
No, this is a burp. It was a cute little burp. And you can also record a voice memo if you are international and the voicemail is not available in your country. So you can just record a voice memo and email it to us at meganpodcast@gmail.com. For all of those variations, you have to be 18 or over, have your parents' permission, let us know your age as well as any of the ages of other people involved. It's all anonymous, so give people some fake names. And we ask that you write everything down ahead of time, especially for recording a voicemail or a voice memo, and practice. Make sure it's under 3 minutes and you have all of the relevant information in there. So it's about a relationship, how long you've been together. If there's like a backstory that is like crucial to how we would judge someone's character that you want us to judge in that way, like we want to be on your side. We'll tell you if we're not on your side, but also like, let us know if you are sensitive, because we will frame it in various ways. But we need the most and the most relevant information so we can give you the best advice, because like, you know, we're hot and we're funny, but we also like, we're actually trying to, we want to help you out. We want to solve these, problems with you. So you got to give us the tools, help us help you. And yeah, so we also just, you don't have to memorize everything and you don't have to stress out about it. So that's like the great thing about practicing it a couple of times and reading it out loud, that you don't have to worry about like, oh shit, I forgot something, because we don't include like additional audio messages. So like if someone like, you're like, oh shit, I forgot something, like I'm just going to call back, and like you split it over two, just start over, do it one more time.
Doesn't work like that, babies.
And we also have a video version of the podcast available. You can join our Patreon. And like I said, you can also join our Patreon to be added to our Monopoly Go Facebook group. We're on our Facebook message where we trade stickers, we talk, we complain when one of us robs the other one. And it's a really great and wonderful time. And that is at a very affordable price. We also do live streams twice a month. And in our last live stream, we did have someone new and we accidentally assassinated as we were talking about blonde men, but then we found out that they're from Utah, and so like, how are they supposed to date anyone who's not blonde?
Yeah,
Like, mm-hmm. it's a requirement. Like, it's just, that's what you have. That is your dating pool. And they're not related. So you can have fun things like that.
Maybe. Which they did specifically tell us that they went back in their family history to trace to make sure that they were not related. Yeah.
And that was unprompted. As soon as they said, like, no, we're from Utah, we're not related. And we're like, perfect, wonderful, great. So, yeah, you can hear about so many different things. And we have been talking in our group that our Patreon wants specific Patreon merch for specific stories that I've told, like Mary's car crash, a graphic of just Mary's car crash on a t-shirt where she's pancaked. Yeah, there's, you get to know people. It's a great time, and like, everybody's friends, and it's a very welcoming community. So if you're brand new here, we will catch you up on all the lore.
Great job. So now we're going to get into an update. This is from Monday, October 9th, 2023. The episode was called Dating Your Cousin's Ex, and this was the first call in that episode. Friend isn't giving the same energy. So this is a live one. Let's get into it.
Give everyone a little recap on the initial call and hop into the update so we can hear all about this. Because as someone who just re-listened to this, I'm like, it's reinvigorated like my investment in this, and like, I'm on the edge of my seat. No, I'm not kidding. I'm looking forward to this because I kind of hate that guy. So
let's go.
All right. So I'm the caller from the episode. I believe it's Dating Your Cousin's Ex. Mm-hmm. I was the caller who called in asking for advice on what to do with a friend who, and I think you guys put it really nice in the notes of the show, not exchanging the same energy back kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so basically in the call, I was just giving you the basic rundown of our friendship at that point and kind of some of the things that were kind of going through my mind and whether I should just kind of like let this friendship go the way it was going, or should I say something, should I not. So I guess in my update, I think I sent this call in on like beginning of October of last year. Yep. And so probably about a couple weeks after that, there was the same kind of communication we had been getting where it was just like a couple texts here, a couple TikToks here. One of the things he loved to do was send me like stupid TikToks. And it was one of the things where it's like, they're either something that I've already seen, mm-hmm. or it's something that's obviously faked and like staged. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I would laugh, like, you know, LOL, not really laughing, but yeah. I would just be like, you know, whatever, and then go about my day. I would get Snapchat. I know you girls don't like Snapchat from what I mean, I've watched the show forever.
Yeah, so why is a married man Snapchat?
Why is a 26-year-old man using Snapchat, I should say. But anyways, something I do. So you get some snaps back and forth, you know, and he would talk to me sometimes on there, like leave some messages about something I sent or posted on my story, you know, picture of my dog or something like mm-hmm. that. And then I want to say the week before Thanksgiving or 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, he messaged me on Snapchat and said, we really need to get together and hang out. It's been too long.
Okay.
And at this point, I believe the last time we hung out was towards the end of 2022, like in person.
When he like made you mount a TV or something.
That was one of the things, because I listened to your guys' like questions and kind of thoughts, and I kind of like took some notes. One of the questions Melissa had was, what is it that I'm doing when I go mm-hmm. there? Mm-hmm. And like, what does he do where it's like he has to cut it short, or like mm-hmm. has to get back to his wife? I guess I should have said in the call for context, his wife is the same age as me. So she's like 26, 27, and he's just turned 37. So we had all used to work together.
Okay.
And so when I would go over to hang out, I would, one of the last things he had me do was help him move a washer and dryer into the upstairs of his parents' house because he's living with his parents.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, I knew that wouldn't. There's so much that I could have put in the call that kind of like, you guys would have been like, whoa. So I tried to keep it as like general, like nothing too crazy or nothing too like, I don't know, like ridiculous off the cuff. Because that wasn't like the main reason that I called, was stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, even that week that he had messaged me about hanging out again. And I said, sure, you know, let's do it. I don't mind. I mean, I haven't seen you in a while. It'd be nice to catch up. Follows up with a bunch of texts about what computer should I get my father for this? What should I do for this? Like, tech support. Like, I get it. I'm techie, but I'm not like your personal tech support. So to make a long story short, we planned for after Thanksgiving. And that week of Thanksgiving, it was the day before we were supposed to hang out. He had asked me if I could cover in his work location, which is about probably 45 minutes away from where I lived on my day off. So I had said, no, I said, I've got a lot of things to do today, but I'll see you tomorrow to hang out. We never hung out. He messaged me that morning that he was not feeling well at all, that he was sick. And then I think 2 days later, a couple days, this has already been after Thanksgiving. So a couple days like before December started, that he had gotten COVID. And that his girlfriend had gotten COVID, or not girlfriend, wife, had gotten COVID. And so I was like, okay, whatever, you know, I hope you feel better. It wasn't his first time getting COVID, and he didn't seem too like in pain about it. Flash forward like 2 weeks later, I had went to the location that we all used to work at together. I work in one, he works in another, and his wife works in the one that we all used to. So I had to go bring some supplies over to the one that she works at. And I ran into her and I said, hey, long time no see. I don't talk to her on a daily basis or anything, so it's kind of just like, whatever. She was happy to see me. And I said, oh, how are you feeling after getting COVID? And the look on her face, without her saying anything, told me that she didn't have COVID and that they didn't have COVID. So, and the other thing that had came up with that made me kind of like question it was 2 days after he had told me he had COVID, he said that he had to go into work because they needed him to do something. His supervisor needed him to do something. And I said, well, our policy is 5 days until you like or don't test symptoms, but you have to be masked. And so he was like, yeah, they just want me to go in for a little bit. So I'm going to go in for a little bit. And I was like, do you really have COVID?
Why would you go to that extreme? Like, if you're going to lie about being sick, why would you go to an extreme of something that you have to be tested for? That's such a bad lie.
Yeah. And I mean, this isn't, I don't, this is going to make me sound so bad, but this is not the first time that I've gotten this vibe about him, like maybe lying about something. Just because we all work in for the same company and we work around the same people, and I've been around a lot more of the different like sides of it, and I'm trained in a lot more things. So I've come across a lot of people, and so, you know, people talk, it's a workplace, and like, I hear things about like, you know, this one's been out of work for 2 weeks. Like somebody told me he was out of work for a couple months because he was in a car accident. And he never told me, like, he told me he got rear-ended, so technically a car accident, but never like said anything about how bad it was. I think I even asked him one time, I was like, how does the car look? And he didn't have pictures to show me. But he's been telling me, he had been telling me at that point that he'd been fighting with insurance for like a month, maybe a month and a half, and had to get a lawyer. And I'm like, okay, so you don't have any photos of the damage to your car.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. That's like the first thing you do when you get an accident.
No. So after that, and I heard about that, I kind of ghosted. He kept sending me random TikToks. I'd be very short with him. Never brought up trying to reschedule, hanging out. Even when he asked to hang out, he was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, we can do whatever. We can go to dinner. We can get drinks. Like, we could go, like, do something fun, like bowling or, you know, something simple. And never got a follow back on that. He kind of just left it up to me for that idea of it. And then at this point, I haven't heard from him, and I think since like December, mid-December, just before Christmas.
Like, do you still follow him on stuff? Do you still see like him like posting things?
Yes, we're still on like Facebooks and Instagrams and all that. He looks at my stories on like everything I post. Mm-hmm. So like my Instagram stories, whether it's like today, they announced X-Men coming back. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I'm a big Marvel fan. 1987, if you couldn't tell.
Let's go. Yep. Yeah, see Captain Marvel back there.
And so I posted about it on my story, how like when I heard the theme song, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's nostalgic. Yeah. And looked at my story, like it's constant. So I think I was really like wondering, like, should I be done with this when I called the first time? And for you guys to be like, yeah, it's okay if you're like done with it and you sound done with it, because mm-hmm. I kind of like was done with it.
Yeah.
Like I've been done with it before. I think I said in the call that I was kind of out of it before he asked me to be his best man.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like 1 foot out the door. And I was like, I don't know. I guess I felt bad because it really seems like I'm his like only friend.
Yeah. But also like, he's not treating you like a friend. So like at that point, I'm like, okay, so we're not, you actually just have no friends. Cause like, you're not treating me like a friend. So
he's treating you like an assistant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it wasn't always like this, like, especially like at the beginning. And obviously, I mean, I was younger, like I think 2018, I was probably just 21, just 22. Yeah. So like I was different. I was not as, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I was mature for my age. I mean, I got along with a lot at that point. A lot of my friends were either my age or older.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't that much friends with much younger people or anything. So even then it was like more of hanging out, going to the gym all the time, you know. And even now it's like one of the things was, hey, you want to just join me for a workout? Like mm-hmm. it's simple. You don't even have to go the whole time. If you want to just jump in, we don't even have to do weights or anything. You can just jump on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. And it was always, or like when the car accident happened, it was, I can't go. They don't want me to go in until my insurance is all settled and everything. And I'm like, I'm getting the vibes that this is not real. Like,
no. Yeah. And I honestly, like, I get where you, like, even just like the kind side of it is, you know, he doesn't seem like he has any like other people there. And so like, you want to be there for someone like that. But I also have to say, like, some of the lies, when you know someone is kind of just like a pathological liar, sometimes it's kind of fun to keep them around to be like, what are you going to say next? Cause like, that is like, Melissa and I know someone who lied about getting hit by a car. And then their lie when they got caught saying they got hit by a car was like, oh, I was just covering up because I actually have cancer. And then it like someone sent all these gift baskets to them and then like reached out to their family. And the family was like, we have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. there is something that like, and we didn't like this person, but there is something about like this, like you feel bad because you're like, no one who's of like sound mind would be lying about this stuff. But then also there's this kind of like nasty side of me that I'm like, what are you going to say next? Like, this is kind of entertaining to a certain extent. But then when you're just wasting my time and like you're not even giving me funny stories to go out of this, then it's just like, what's the point of this?
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely a point where like, and going off of like the lying thing, I guess, is my biggest question. Like, I would always ask myself, and then even other people that I've talked to, I'm an only child, so I don't have any brothers and sisters I can confide in. Mm-hmm. But like, I have an older cousin who I would consider almost like a brother to me. And we would mm-hmm. talk about it. And he would be like, do you know why he's lying to you? Like, from what, like, all the things that I've caught him in, or like even this stuff, mm-hmm. I've always like known that it's like a lie and doesn't come clean. I don't know what he's afraid of. Like, I don't know if it's because of everything that happened after his first marriage, which ended at the time that we started becoming friends, because that's kind of how the friendship started. Was before this point, this man had worked maybe like 15 hours a week, like nothing. I barely saw this man part time. I mean, I was part time because I was in college. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's there all the time that I was. And I mean, at that point in the friendship, we were pretty close, to the point where I went with him to court when he got his divorce finalized.
Well, that makes sense why you were the best man.
Oh my God. He's like, you've been with me for better and through worse. Right. Like, yeah. God.
But wow. that's just how I am. Like, I'll do that for any of my friends. My closest friends, I have friends from high school to this day. We're best friends and everything like that. Anything I will drop at a hat for any of them. Even people that like I'm just like good friends with, you know, not like super close or anything like that. I'm very like nice and outgoing, and I'll always do something and always give them the benefit of the doubt. So like going to that just kind of seemed like the thing to do because he just didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
And like he didn't want to get his parents involved and all this other stuff. So, I mean, it's just so weird. It's like, I've seen everything. I've heard everything.
You just have to pinky promise me if they have a baby and they ask you to be the godfather, you just say, no, thank you.
You're already on the list.
Yeah, no, like you're actually the list. So like, I do mm-hmm. need you to like solemnly swear that like, you're not going to do that. And you can't do it, can you? You can't promise it.
Nope.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, at this point, I think I'm more inclined not to than I would be before. But like, I've always said to all my friends, like, if we don't talk and for a little while and nothing like really ever happened where we like had a fight and like whatever, if you called me and something was wrong and you needed somebody to talk to or whatever, and it was feasible, I'd be mm-hmm. there. That's just, I don't know. That's just the kind of guy I am.
Kind. That's a very kind thing to do.
Even though I am a Scorpio and I deduce the shit out of everything.
That's funny.
I'm just wondering when the day is that, like, whatever happens or whatever it is comes out or he's like, hey, I lied to mm-hmm. you about all this stuff. Sorry, kind of thing. Like, it could happen, but probably won't. Either way.
I'm hoping it comes from her being like, so I need you to act as a witness.
That would be
funny.
And
I'm going to get all his money. And then you'd be like, okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
That would be funny.
Wow. Let us know if that happens. Would absolutely love to hear that. And yeah, thank you so much for giving us the update. This was very satisfying as well. And you've got wonderful taste in movies and you seem like such like a nice person that I'm excited that you have like you've had more free time to like have friendships with people who reciprocate in a positive way.
Yeah, of course.
This won't be included, but we just let everyone know that like when you call in to give us an update and we like chat with you afterwards, we might tell you that like we're having like a psychic oracle experience and like we tell you the next job field that you need to work in and we change the trajectory of your life. So mm-hmm. hopefully we're gonna get an update in, I'm gonna say within the calendar year.
I'm gonna say 6 months. I'm gonna give it 6 months. Yeah,
that's gonna be like, hey Megan and Melissa, I just want to let you know that I took your off-air advice of you saying that, what do you mean you don't work in this field, this is where you're supposed to work, and lives are gonna be changed. So That's an unexpected perk of that.
Mm-hmm. But what a nice young man.
I'm obsessed. Love. Wonderful vibes. Also inspires me to be a better person. I'm like, damn, you're like a really good person.
You know, in the situation that I am in Arkansas, I've been like, Melissa, you're such a good person.
No, Melissa, you're a great person. Has anyone ever told you you're not a great person?
Yes.
Who?
Someone that was jealous.
Yeah, I was about to say, I could think off the top of my head, but also, they're not good people.
Their opinion doesn't matter.
No. If they told me I was a good person, I would go, I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, that's alarming that you horrible, horrific demon think I'm good? Uh-oh.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, people be like, Melissa, you're, like, so nice. And I'm like, in certain situations, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm being nice. I'm just telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's kind. You're kind. Yeah. And you're a great person.
That is the difference. Thank you.
Yeah, older siblings. What do I say? Only child and older siblings. I'm like,
yeah.
I understand the vibe. Shall we get into giving some advice?
Let's take a break first.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Ready to pop the question?
The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Yamen Spa Styler Hair Tool that we both have. We have their blow dryer, and this is doing something that I've never once seen before on a blow dryer. It's got red light therapy, but the thing that I am the most excited about, because I literally just opened my package, it's got a scalp massager attachment. What? Hello, my scalp is so incredibly excited. And as someone who has been a big fan of like Korean and Japanese beauty that I've like very much gone into, specifically skincare, and I've started dabbling into makeup, I just know that like hot tools. Oh, I'm sat. I'm ready and I'm primed, and my scalp cannot wait to be massaged.
I am literally sitting here with it in my hand as we're talking. It's so, first of all, it's well made. Like, it fits great in my hand. It's not too thick. I have tiny hands of a child, and it's not too thick in my hand. And then also the attachment for the massager, it's just so, like, I'm rubbing it against my hand, and it's just so soft and flexible and just invigorating that I'm really excited to get this thing on this scalp.
I'm so excited because I have to say, blow drying your hair is, in diffusing your hair, all those things, it's a time-consuming process. So to be able to be like, let me take a break and treat myself, give myself a little head massage, do a little red light therapy, like, fantastic. Plus, it's lightweight, so your arm's not going to get so tired. Absolutely tired. And yeah, very ergonomic, fantastic.
Yamen is a leading Japanese beauty brand, blends modern technology with traditional beauty rituals to revolutionize the industry. Their U.S. brand portfolio includes Makanai Pure Beauty, MediLift, Mineral Air, and Yamen Tokyo, Japan.
To experience the future of beauty, you can visit yamenusa.com and use code BLAMEME for a 20% discount. That's BLAMEME at yamenusa.com. That's yamenusa.com for 20% off using our code BLAMEME. We're back for our break and we're going to get into the calls.
Okay. The first one is a write-in. Hey, Eminem, I am 30 and I use she, her pronouns. My boyfriend was supposed to plan our whole Valentine's Day date. Well, he dropped the ball big time. I was expecting a nice dinner and maybe some sexy time later tonight. Nothing. He came home from work and said he was tired and we could just order in and watch a movie. I've been looking forward to going out all day. Am I being selfish? We've been together 6 years and usually go all out, but I wasn't feeling the love on love day. We usually at least go somewhere. Ordering in and watching a movie was no fun. As I type this, he's sleeping, so no sexy time either. Ugh, this has been the worst V-Day we've ever had. Do I bring it up to him or should I be more understanding? I know his job can be stressful, so I feel bad for complaining, but I mean, it's V-Day. Minus the V, clearly.
I mean, my first question is, did you get flowers? Did he get you a gift? Like, because I think that like a total rescheduling of Valentine's Day of being like, I'm swamped, I can't do this. Like, so like, we're gonna either like, I've got your gift here, but like, I'm gonna make this up to you. I just like, can't swing it today. I think that, but if it's like a half-assed, like he thought he did it, like he thought that this was fine and like a fine equivalent, then I would say like, yeah, that's an issue. But like something to bring up. But I would say if like it is a, hey, I can't tonight, it's swamped, and either like I've got all of your stuff, I'm gonna reschedule it, so we're doing a full day redo, or you're essentially getting two Valentine's days and one of them is like not really what you wanted, but you're still gonna get the one you wanted, that I would say like you're allowed to be annoyed and you're allowed to be pissed, but I would keep that part to yourself. But if he has not offered that, like, and you have not gotten the agreement ahead of time that like this is unfortunately, like, he's so apologetic and this sucks and he knows, but like you already have the rescheduled date on your calendar and it is for like the next, like 2 days later, like then I would say like you tell him that you're disappointed and like what's the deal.
Yeah, because I mean obviously he was tired since he was falling asleep as you were sending us the message, and it was yesterday because we're recording this on February 15th and you were annoyed. So yes, he was tired. But did he make any effort in any other way? He did say he wanted to watch the movie. Did he fall asleep while you were watching the movie?
What movie was it?
But yeah, what movie was it? I think like the thing should have been, I'm not feeling great right now. Like my energy's down. Can we please reschedule this for like Saturday or something? Which is better. But if you were expecting all day, like he came home and you were expecting all day that like y'all were going out, yes, that is a huge disappointment. Because if he still like was planning to do something today, he should have probably already had those other things and it shouldn't have been something that he was coming home from work and picking up. But yeah, I would be annoyed.
I was gonna ask, do you think it was that, because I think there's a huge difference between canceling the dinner reservation that you had and the plans that you had because you had a really rough day at work and you're exhausted versus having a really busy week at work and never getting around to scheduling it and then just being like, we're going to order takeout and watch a movie. Cause like that, but to me, I'd be like, you have to tell me ahead of time. You can't just say the day of.
But also with Valentine's, it should be Thanksgiving. You're giving thanks for our love. But exactly. For Valentine's Day, you can't just schedule like that week. Things have to be done a few weeks in advance. So like if he was going to get you flowers, you couldn't, like, unless he was going to the grocery store, which maybe he was doing. Some grocery stores do have really nice flowers. Like, but those things should have been ordered. Like candy should have been already bought. Things should have been done. Even if you ordered it from, like he said y'all were ordering in, he could have order those, the candies and flowers or whatever you were expecting, he could have ordered that and it could have been dropped off to you. Even if he was having a bad day, it would have actually saved some time.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, did you get all ready to go out and go to dinner?
Yeah,
like, because that to me, like, when I tell you I would be seething and then they fall asleep and you don't even, like, I would be like, I am actually so mad at you, because I think there's something about being I can be understanding and I will be understanding, and I need, in order for me to be understanding, you need to be considerate. Like, I can't be understanding when you're being inconsiderate, because then I'm just being a doormat and I'm being a pushover. So like, you give me honesty and the opportunity to be like, hey, this really sucks and I'm not going to be able to do this in a way that I wanted to. So like, let's reschedule, or let's come up with an alternative that like works for both of us, that like doesn't have me bleeding out, versus someone who like can overpromise and underdeliver. And then it's like, well, it's the thought that counts. It's like, actually no, because you also didn't think through that. Like, I got all ready and I got dressed and I was excited for this, and I can be understanding if something comes up, totally. But you have to give me that opportunity instead of like just disappointing me in that. So I'm just a big fan of, in this instance, like, communication. Like, it's okay if you forget. It's okay if you drop the ball, but own up to that instead of like making it seem like this is either the plan all along or a fine alternative, when like it clearly isn't. Like, it's not about your expectations. It was about like the expectations that had been set by both of you that were not delivered on. So I say communicate. And I'm wondering if you got flowers, because love of my life, Mats, he's great. We didn't do Valentine's Day last year, and he fully just forgot. And I could tell him, like, you've forgotten. And so he ordered flowers the day before. He's like, no, I ordered them a while ago. It's like, your present's just like a little bit late. And I was like, because I told him, I was like, oh, I'm really sorry, by the way, your present's gonna be late. And he was like, and I was like, it's okay if you do, because we didn't do presents last year. And I was like, we did talk about doing it this year, but like, we don't ever do things on the day of Valentine's Day, because like, it's I don't like going out to dinner. Like, I'm a fan of ordering in and watching a movie. I can't stand a prefix menu. And but the flowers, he already like called and he was like, yeah, I ordered them yesterday. And I was like, I knew you did, and that's fine. They literally, whoever worked at this floral shop, I was like, damn, you are bleeding out. They delivered these flowers at 11:45 p.m. to ensure that they got them in on the day. And I was like, oh my God, it's fine. Deliver them tomorrow. Go home. Like, but like, this person delivering them, like
they could have been, could have been causing a fight.
They were like, this is maker. And I was like, it's really, I wish I could be like, it's really not a big deal. Like, don't worry. And like, imagine the pressure of being like a florist or a delivery on Valentine's Day. Like, holy fucking shit. Like, you feel like you have you have the world.
That's your Super Bowl.
That's what it is. Super Bowl. And imagine, what if you were a Niners fan and it's after Super Bowl, you're sad about the Super Bowl, and then you have your own personal Super Bowl. Well, I would love to know the more details of this and how he makes it up to you.
If he makes it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. This question is for Megan. I'm a 30-year-old white woman. I have a friend, Sarah, who is a 36-year-old white woman. Sarah and I are coworkers who have gone on weeks-long work trips together, and every couple of months we get brunch. I wouldn't say we're close, but I consider us friends. About 6 months ago, we were getting brunch, and she was complaining about another coworker I don't know and mentioned he went to an HBCU. She said it with the undertone that this man had only gotten hired because he was black. I replied to that by saying, well, we're women in engineering, and with that logic, you'd have to assume people are saying we only got our jobs because we're women and they needed diversity hires. She just shrugged it off and changed the topic. A couple months ago, we were playing tennis, and she spent 10 minutes complaining about a white man who worked for her, talking about how he doesn't know how to do his job and she hates being his boss. She then moved on to talking shit about a black woman she is also the boss of. During this conversation, she said something like, well, you know how black women are. Even though we were outside with no one else around, she whispered it. I completely stopped and said, I have no idea what you're talking about. She started stuttering, and I said, I don't know what anything you just said has to do with the fact that she's black. If anything, she sounds like she's acting exactly like the white man you just spent 15 minutes complaining about. She changed the subject, and we went back to tennis. Part of me wants to continue to be friends with her, and I also feel like I need to stay in contact with her so she has at least one person calling out her racism. Do you think I should keep her as a friend, or should I distance to us just seeing each other at work? When I did call out her racism, she didn't double down or try to defend herself. She almost seemed shocked that I even called it out, which makes me feel like I might be the only person in her life who would. If you would remain friends with her, how would you go about having further conversations about racism? In previous relationships, I would just cut the person off, but I realize now that's not helpful, especially if I'm the only person calling her out. I grew up very conservative, and while I've done a lot of my own work in an effort to unlearn the racism I'd been taught, I also have friends who along the way graciously corrected me when I said something fucked up. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Bye.
Oof. I mean, I think that I think your conservative upbringing is actually an asset in this, and that like you've been on the receiving end of this, because I think that there's a difference between calling someone out and having someone be receptive to it. I do think that these two instances, I would need to know like what happens next, because like she at a certain point. I've had to do like reflections on like when people have said something fucked up, I'm like, why would you feel comfortable saying that in front of me? Like, how have I made an environment where you thought that that was a thing that I'd be cool with or okay with? And so I think that you calling her out about these things twice, I would be curious if it does this keep happening again, because then I would be like, okay, why is this that this is something that she's comfortable saying to me here? And I think that, and I don't want to say that this is what you are doing or whatever, but I do think if you want to take the role of educating her, being like asking someone to be like, oh, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand that. And then the conversation kind of moves on is just, it's not furthering the conversation. Like, it's asking her to do a lot of like the thinking about what I said. Oh, thinking about how that's racist versus being like, that's super racist. Like, that's and the specific trope about Black women, like, that's really racist. That's a very, why would you say that? Versus asking someone to like reflect on it themselves to be like, is this racist? Both of those things can be effective. But I don't think that, I think that you can only know if she's open to changing her mind and she like learns from this. But I personally would not like self-identify someone who is like actively saying racist things as a coworker or a friend. I would not like self-identify them as a friend. I would be like very specific about the instances and where we hung out, and the people that I would bring her around, because, you know, other people are a reflection on you. And I do agree that like she sounds like someone who is like shocked and is not having anyone call her out on that. But I would just say that I do think that it's different in friends than it is like family members, or, you know, if someone's in an abusive relationship where you're doing it in a way that is palatable to them, so you're not pushing them away and all of that kind of stuff. If she's susceptible to this and is like willing to learn and understand, and you notice that, then I think like that's a green light of like, okay, cool. This is someone who wants to learn and is willing to learn and is unpacking their stuff at a different timeline than I am. And if you see that you are taking on the role that someone else had taken on for you, and she is being receptive in the same way that you were, I think that's great. But I think if it just means that she never talks about this ever again and like doesn't bring up race in front of you, doesn't say anything, but also isn't like, you know, talking about anti-racism or is like going on the other side of it, then I think it's just, you're no longer a safe person for her to be racist, to talk about being racist in front of. And to that, I personally would just, I wouldn't be able to be friends with someone who had those thoughts and feelings and were comfortable feeling them and saying them, and thinking them, even if it's not in my presence. Like, I want the person who I'm friends with to be that person to like everybody else. So I think it's time, but I would also be curious how long you've been friends. Did she say that?
She didn't say, but this is where I think that this is a little different as far as like with friendships and just like not being friends with somebody, is because this person is somebody that you work with. So her opinions on people and being their bosses will make and break if these people are getting a promotion or not. So I think that you should be sticking around, and maybe not in a friend way, but like, you think of this as your colleague. If you want to be like a true ally, if that is what like your goal is, and to fight anti-racism, then you need to still be like work friends with this person and try to help change her opinion, because where she is right now in her role as the supervisor, the boss to these people, she can keep people from not advancing in their careers because of the way that she is. So maybe you don't think of her as like an actual friend, but this is like additional work that you're doing.
This is a work project.
To help. Yes.
Yeah. This that's it.
And then if she ever says anything in a professional setting, you need to report her as.
Well, yeah. That's what I was going to say is and maybe I'm wrong in this, I would try and keep most of your interactions now, go about it in a way that it is like a little bit more professional because I don't know how much you interact with her at work because the tennis thing and like doing that and then like kind of whispering it and you get brunch
and
that.
Brunch and stuff.
Yeah. I just think you're blurring the lines in general of like work and friendship and what is she doing? Because this is something that needs to be, this isn't, the friendship aspect of this, regardless of like, take away the racism aspect of this. Like we've talked about so much about like, there's a different kind of friendship you have with coworkers and like, especially in a not like freelance kind of field, like when you depend on your coworkers, like it is different. There are politics and those things involved there. And like when people say things offline, it's like super strategic and it can be really fucking messy if you get into something like this, where someone says or does something that is like super fucked up that does affect their work, but they're not saying it in a workplace setting. So therefore like, you've got no paper trail, it's word of mouth, and like, it's just, it's messy. So I would take your friendship and really like hone in on the professional side of it. So like, even something like taking lunches during work hours, as opposed to brunch on the weekends, like things that are like that, because I don't, some people can, you can think that like how someone is, someone's just like venting after work in like a friendship setting, but like that will translate to how she treats her employees and how she is at work. And if you're not directly working with her there, like you don't want her to have, like in my mind, she says something racist and you listen and you hear it out and like you call her out on it. But then you're in a meeting and then someone says or does something and she gives you a knowing look as in like, you feel me? And it's like,
right.
Fuck no. This is a part of your also professional relationship. And this isn't like there's a moral obligation I personally find, but there's also a professional obligation for everyone who you work with as well. That like, I just think that taking on this task as from a friendship perspective is not going to be useful, or trackable in a sense of like, is this changing? Because she's talking to you about this in settings that have already happened. She's talking about this in things that doesn't seem like you're in the room with her and these other people. She's just retelling these things. And I also would not feel, I don't know if it's like even legal, but like I would not feel comfortable knowing that she's saying these things about people I work with, because I would also like, that just feels like you're complicit in that aspect. And I might be extreme of me at this point. But I don't know what your relationship is with HR, but like, I might even just like anonymously be like, hey, I would love to have, or even like check in with the people who she's like, if you work in the same area and circle, I wouldn't give it like a year and to then see that like a Black woman is never getting promoted underneath her. Like, I just think that like you have vital information that she's being racist to coworkers right now. And I think that you need to not just wait to see what happens next. I think like, has this person not gotten a promotion? How much is this person getting paid less than this other person there? Like, I just think that like, there's no way that this just started from her. I think you're just hearing it. And I would also ask yourself, like, what has changed that she started talking to you about this? Like, how did this just come up 6 months ago? Because if you just started and you're just brand new coworkers and she feels this comfortable saying this to you already off the bat, I'd probably report her to HR just now. If this is like you started working there, let's say it was 6 months ago, she said the HBCU thing. And if she said that and you've been working there for 8 months, she says to someone she's known for 2 months, I would immediately report her to HR. Because yeah, this is just, she should not feel comfortable saying these things to you, and she's just strategically doing it when you're not on the clock.
And you're not like, actually, you said that you were kind of more of a so acquaintances than actual friends. What is she saying to like her actual friends?
Yeah. And what is she saying to like her other, and I don't know what your specific position is, but like, let's say that like her her specific boss is one of her bosses is like a white man, or so she has someone who works at her level. Like, what are then they getting together and saying, and how are they taking their racism and infiltrating that into the workplace with these other people there? Like, and there's also just something to be said about like someone saying something racist to you about like the, hey, my fellow white person, like you get it. There is nothing to be decoded there. Like, there's no subtlety there at all. And it's like so comfortable being so fucking outwardly racist that those people are the micro and macro aggressions that the people that she is working with have to deal with from her. This isn't that they have no idea, like, at all. I think making sure that you pay attention, like, now and see how those things are going about there, because I don't know, depending on what the diversity breakdown of your company is, that there might not be a safe place for those people to report those things happening. And you are going to be the only person who has the age, who has the knowledge of this going on and has it from a perspective or from a place where you feel safe and comfortable to talk about it and not worrying about risking your job and feeling supported.
And I'm guessing, just based on what you said, that there aren't very, I mean, you specifically said that there aren't very many women in your field. And so she probably is gravitating towards you because you are the other white woman, and she feels like you're the person she can talk to about this.
I think you're using really sound logic on her. But it's asking her to do a lot of self-discovery. And that's something that, like, we can't really count on coworkers to do the same way that you can in friendships. And that because, like, you pick your friendships and you want your friends to do better. You expect more of them. Coworkers, you end up in the same place at the same time. So I think taking a back seat and kind of easing into it in that sense is just, I don't think you're even going to know if it's yielding results. You know, I think she's got too much power with she's got too much power and is just straight up racist that, like, it's not necessarily considered a win at all if she stops talking to you about it like that. And then who knows? And then also, like, I think that it doesn't just end there. Like, this is much messier than that. So I would really focus this on a workplace kind of thing. And I would also, like, go out of your way to, like, who do you hang out with at work besides her? Like, do you specifically hang out with mostly other white women there? Like, what is your friendship breakdown or the coworkers that you hang out with and spend time with? Because you got this intel from her in however long that, you know, I'm sure other people have other things to say, and you're not the HR who needs to hear out both sides of that. But I don't think it's a huge ally move to just maintain a very white group of friends and call those white group of friends out when they're being racist, but not expand your social circle or the people you spend time with, hang out with, and all that. I hope she pelted her in the head with the tennis. Like, just,
I honestly, that was in my mind. I was like, did you hit her with the ball? Like, how good are you at tennis?
Yeah, well, because, like, you know me, I would just have to hit her with the racket, but then she'd have the grill marks on her face.
Yeah,
but, like,
unless you took her out at the knees.
Oh yeah, hey, that's always a good one. Get those little knee shots in there.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we're back, and it's time for our next call, or is it a write-in for this one?
It leaves a write-in.
Hey guys, so I'm having an issue with my girlfriend being extra clingy. I, 24, she, her, and my girlfriend, she, her, have been together for 3 years now and live together too. Lately, she's become super clingy. I'm not sure what started it, but it's getting exhausting. I can't even hang out with my friends that aren't mutual without her wanting to tag along. I want to mention this, but I don't want to hurt her feelings. Please help me out. I don't mind tough love. I can take it. I love you guys so much. Long-term listener. Oh, poor clingy.
Are you saying poor clingy and not no, poor I to know, the writer?
I
know.
Well, I just, it's there. Nobody is winning when someone is being like so extra clingy. Like they're not getting their needs met because their needs are like, they're impossible to be met. Like you're just like, you need more, 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 more. So like nobody's, unfortunately, like nobody's winning in this situation. And like, that's just like, it sucks. You said how long have you been living together? Let's see. Living together for 2 years, 3 years.
And so
I would just be straight up and be like, hey, I like love you so much. Can I ask like what has happened in like the last, let's say like 6 months? I don't know how long it's been since this started. Be like, did something happen? Like what's going on? Like it could be something as simple as like she watched like a like scary movie or something. Not even like a horror movie, but like something where like someone like got it. I don't want to like have anyone who also has anxiety or OCD like spiral about like, you know, had some thought or heard something about something that was like really sad and devastating about a couple who was like in different places and something happened and it was like really bad there. Because I have to assume that something happened, that this is just totally shifted.
Yeah, because it's not going to just happen out of nowhere. Mm-mm. If someone wasn't clingy, like how like what stage of cling were they before? Like the stage one and now they're stage four, where it was just like a healthy amount of y'all spending time together. Yeah, figure it out. And you say you have mutual friends. No, never mind. I wasn't going to say no. Don't ask anybody else.
Damn, girl. Stirring the pot.
I don't know. It may be different in same-sex relationships.
To be fair,
where,
yeah.
Yeah, so... Because if y'all have the same friends, it's like some you want to vent to your friends, but then you can't actually vent to them because they're the same friends. I don't know. Yeah, just ask and then see what the answer is. And then if it's something that you can help with, help, but also like it may be something that requires professional help, and steer them in that direction.
Yeah, it could be something as simple as like they went through a friendship breakup recently, and so like they just have felt, even if it's like they have other friends and they've got all this stuff, like it might just be hitting them harder than they had like let on, or maybe even that they're even aware of, that it's like, oh, this is hard, or they've had a loss in their life recently, or whatever it is. But yeah, there's something, but you just have to ask. And if you love her, which it sounds like you do, I don't think you need to.
I hope so after 3 years.
Yeah. I don't think that I would not say, I probably wouldn't use the word clingy. I would probably say something along the lines of like, hey, like I would like, can I just like ask, like, I feel like something has kind of shifted within whatever time frame it is, that like, it seems like it's used to be before, like we could hang out with other friends and do our own like kind of solo things. And we were a little bit like more independent, or like hanging out. And I don't know if it's like, she's like being physically clingy, where it's like we would hang out together at home, but like, we weren't just like really like proximity so close all the time. And I just like want to know, can like let me know like what's happened, because this just feels like a pretty sudden and drastic shift. I just like want to check in, because I can't imagine this came out of nowhere. And she just needs to be honest. And if she's not, then I think like you can just say like, okay, well, I really love that about our relationship, and so like I'm going to go out tonight. And if she's like, well, I really don't want you to go. And it's like, can you tell me why? Like, are you feeling anxious? Like, are you feeling anxious something's going to happen? Like, what is this? Because I want to help you out here. But like what we're doing right now, I don't think it's not working, because like Mats and I will talk about it all the time. Like, we'll like go back and forth of like who's clingy, but like it lasts like a day, like maybe a couple days. And like you go back and it's usually just like, you know, whoever has less work that time, who like doesn't have as much busy work and is like, I'm bored. Hello. But if it lasts for longer than that, it's because you're not getting those needs met. So like, I don't think she's getting what she needs out of this, and not out of the relationship, but I just mean like, no one is like clingy for a prolonged period of time because they're trying to get more. They're trying to get more. And so I think like it serves both of you. So I would like make sure that you really sent to her in that too, that like, this is something that she's not, there's something there for her too. It's not just that like this is annoying you and this is too much for you. Like, it's not fun for either of you.
Good luck.
It's Melissa's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Truly your worst nightmare. Uh-huh. I also could not handle someone being clingy for like more than like a week, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, stand up.
It's sweet, you know, when I have nothing to do, but
that's what I mean. But then when you have something to do and someone's like, oh, like, you're
that's like mm-mm. It's like vacation time. That's the time to be clinging.
Yes. You know, yes.
We have nothing to do for a whole week. Yes. Let's cling on to each other. But.
And then let's.
When we get back home, you got to find something else to cling on to. You know, like it can be like 8 hours a day, I'm clinging on to work.
Uh huh.
1 hour of the day, I'm clinging on to making dinner. Like, let's section out our clinginess to other things in life, not just to me specifically.
Because otherwise you'll suffocate.
You keep holding on to somebody when you're trying to swim, you're going to drown.
Both of you.
Yeah.
And that's coming from two girls who can't swim that well.
Exactly. All right. Last one.
Hi. I'm so nervous. Hi, Megan, Melissa. I'm calling in for career advice. I am a longtime listener. I've been listening since I was a junior in high school. And this is my first time calling. I, she, her, am 22 years old, and I just graduated from college with a degree in English and Art. My goal is to work in the illustration industry, doing children's book illustration or graphic novels, and or to work in the animation industry as a storyboard artist. The problem is that I'm having a hard time getting there, and no one around me really seems to believe in me. I haven't been able to secure an internship in animation, and I am still working on a professional portfolio to submit to illustration agencies. So I'm so nervous, and I haven't had any major breaks or successes so far. I personally think my abilities aren't up to par with other professionals, but I'm trying hard to get them there. The challenging thing is that no one seems to see how much work I put into my art because it doesn't have any immediate effects or rewards. My dad says I should just go to law school and be a lawyer. My mom sends me article after article about selling NFTs. My grandfather sent a message to me and my whole family about how I'm a failure. And my close family friends have told me that my goals are just fantasies and I should try doing something more realistic. Currently, I live at home and I'm working two jobs as a barista and a nanny, and in my free time, I work on my art. One family friend said I should apply to a local community college job, but I would be working 40 hours a week and wouldn't have time to work on my portfolio. And I just got my coffee shop job after months of building rapport. I guess to sum up, I'm super lost and I'm lacking a lot of confidence in my ability to achieve my goals and the dreams I've set out for myself and my own skills. I'd love any advice or thoughts you may have about what my next step should be, because anything would help right now. Should I look into more schooling, keep doing what I'm doing, try a new route? I guess I'm also just asking how I decide whether to keep pursuing my goals or and when to give up. I don't want to be someone who keeps trying to make something work if it's not meant for me, and I'm afraid that to the outside world, I just look like an idiot. Like I said, I'd appreciate any advice you have. Thank you so much for listening. That alone means a lot. And I wish you both the best, and I hope you know how helpful you are to so many people. Okay, sorry if that was really heavy. Also, I'm sorry I'm nervous. Bye-bye.
You just graduated.
No, like, you're doing everything right. And I did look up your area code, and that's the issue. I think if you're living at home, that is the issue there. Because I don't think you're around people who are doing this. And I don't think you're around the arts in this sense. But like when I tell you that, like, by anyone that I would know who like lives where we live and like works in art, this isn't like, this is, I would say, tangentially our industry. Like,
yes,
you would be with everyone. You would be doing very well. Like, you would be doing what everyone else is doing. You're completely on the right track. Like, this is, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And this is where you're supposed to be at this point. But I don't think you're surrounded by anyone who's also in this same camp, so it feels like I'm doing it wrong, and you're not. Yes. At all.
They don't understand the industry. And with Arch Job, we work in the creative arts. Also, like, you have to, I know that you said, like, if you got a full-time job and you worked 40 hours a week, you wouldn't have time. You actually will have time, because yeah, you will make time. I will say that would be the one thing that I would say is the difference of, like, you working full time and then doing your portfolio on the side. You kind of, like, that is part of it. You will, yeah, working in entertainment, you don't work 40 hours a week. You work, or in the arts, you don't work 40 hours of the week. You're going to be working 60, 70 hours a week. So if you were to, you know, if you need to stay at home to appease people and work a full time job, I would say still do that and then do your art on the side. But everything else, like, literally, you just graduated. You're not going to get, yeah, a job right out the door. Like, this, not just like the economy side. Like, if we were in a great economy, mm-hmm, and people were getting jobs left and right, like, you would still be struggling to find a job. That's just how it goes. And you're not a failure. Sorry, Grandpa. You're not a failure. Again, you just started. Like, there's just so much that you have to do, like getting your portfolio. Like, yes, you have to get your portfolio together. You probably will need to, you have to, when you're gearing up to do like your next step in the art field, like, you're going to be working on the weekends. So, mm-hmm, like, you need to be putting any spare time that you have into this, you know, like, still have a social life. But like, this has to kind of become your whole personality, is getting this stuff done. Do not give up. You were nowhere near any point where you need to give up. I would say even like 15 years down the road, you shouldn't be giving up from this, because it's hard to break into the industry. So, like, put your pen to paper, you know, get to work, get your portfolio done. You need to be out talking to people. You need to network. You need to be looking on LinkedIn and reaching out. This week, even, like, I'm pretty established in what I do, but this week I reached out to like 5 people on LinkedIn just to ask like how they got into the specific thing that I'm like interested in. And I had some good, this one woman was giving me all the hot tea in her. Like, I just said, hi, hello, thank you for connecting. How did you get started at this job? And she was just like, well, here's the breakdown. I got recruited from somebody else. Somebody else has like reached out to me to work for this. They aren't paying. So like, if they reach out to you, don't go. like hell, she was giving cheat all sheet. The tea. Yeah. So like, you just have to be nice. Like, I would like reach out to authors that you may enjoy and just be like, hey, find them on LinkedIn. People love to like hear how much you enjoy their work, or illustrators.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, I really enjoy your work. I've been reading up on you, giving them a compliment, tell them like specifically what you like, and then like ask them like a very specific question that only they can answer. And people love talking. And then that's one connection that you have. But you need to be specific. You can't just like go out there willy-nilly and reach out to everyone. You have to be very specific about the kind of questions that you're asking and the kind of people that you're reaching out to. But like, connections in the industry are the main key. People don't understand, even now, I think some people don't understand what I do for a job. but doesn't matter. They aren't paying my bills. I'm paying my own. So, but like, yeah, you may have to do things that you don't like to begin, and do them because you need some money, but also like be working on your craft. I probably work I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and then start and write from 6:30 to either 9:30 or 10, depending on what I have when my like professional work starts. And then I work until about like 8 or 9 o'clock every night.
Yeah. Like, I think that the barista nanny jobs are great. I will say that like a full-time desk job is going to be a lot less exhausting than both of those things combined, that like you will have more time or more brain power or more capacity to like being on your feet all day for both of your part-time jobs is a fuck ton. Like, that's a lot. And both of those jobs, I understand, are quite flexible, but really what right now, like Melissa, you don't need flexibility. It's honestly probably going to be better for you to have structured time that you have work and then structured time that you have your other work, which is the arts. But the kind of like, oh, well, it's good because I can just drop this and do that. The benefits of both of those jobs are more flexibility, but it comes at a cost of like, these are fucking exhausting jobs. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with customers, you have to deal with parents, you have to deal with young kids. Like, it's a lot. And so I think like those are very good gigs, and like I specifically know a lot of actors and writers who, like, those are their gigs. But I would also recommend, I don't know, you probably already follow this person if this is what you want to do, but Laura Price, who's on social media, she is a visual development artist. She works in animation, has worked for like Sony, Paramount, Disney, all of that stuff, and like she's like documented her journey and what she does. And I think that like being able to build your skill set that is around what you want to do makes you a more desirable candidate to hire. So like Melissa does that very, very, very well, in the sense of like, you know, being into film and wanting to make film and television, and then doing podcasts, doing audio, all of those things are like, it's not exactly that, but it is the same. A lot of the time, same studios, same connections, a lot of the same people, but also a skill set there that will differentiate you from people who have just kind of done the same run-of-the-mill internships and the same, like, you know, summer programs or all of that kind of stuff. And you will get you'll get better at it. So like, I don't know if graphic design is something that you'd be like, even doing like a freelance graphic design stuff on the side from another job that you have, that can get you just to get more comfortable in things. Cause part of the thing you're saying is like, I don't know if like my skills are there. Like, I don't know if it's there. And the only way you can do that, I think, in a really realistic way, is to get job assignments from other people. Cause like, when you create your own things for your portfolio, you're picking things that are usually already within your wheelhouse. They're things that already interest you. And sometimes it's really good to do things that you're like, I hate this project. I hate the concept. This is not something that I'm good at, but that's the only way you can get good at it and expand your skill set, is by being given those essentially assignments like that you're forced to do and you have to do. So it's a long, long road. And the fear of looking like you don't want to embarrass yourself, that I would really unpack, because the arts historically and have always been embarrassing. Like, it is like you have to be able to shoot your shot and you have to be able to do it over and over and over again and stand back up and do it again. And if you're worried how that's perceived from other people, you're never going to actually shoot your shot, because you're never going to try as hard as you need to try, because you want to try. Like, there's like people talk about like acting pretty, where it's like people will like, they'll be acting in a scene or doing an audition or whatever, but like you're so concerned with how you're holding your face or how your face moves or whatever, that like how you're being perceived doing your job is your number one goal versus actually doing the job. And you're not going to be able to do the job if you're worried about how people are watching you do said job. It's just, they're completely counterintuitive. And so I think that there are so many voices and so many people who are saying all of this shit that, like, frankly, is none of their business. And like, yes, you still live at home, but like, fuck off. Like, you're trying to crush my dreams. And a lot of the time you'll figure it out, like, after years. A lot of people wanted to get into the arts and didn't have what it takes, not necessarily skill set wise, but confidence wise. And a lot of people feel really threatened by people who feel like they can be the one in 1 million person who gets a chance to do it. Like, there is a level of delusion you have to want to work in the arts. And that is an enviable trait. Like, people really wish they could have that level of fucking delusion. And I cannot imagine that I would have sustained doing what I've done for so long if I was not primarily friends with people who also do what I do. Because, like, I don't know how, like, I like going to like weddings with mods and like talking to people, I'm just like, I have nothing to contribute to this. And like, you make me feel like a total fucking failure, even though if I was successful in your industry, that wouldn't do me any good because it's not what I'm doing. Like, it's just completely unrelated. So I think you really need to find a community of people who do what you do and are passionate about what you do. And even subreddits are a great place to kind of like see that and like join people doing that. And like, anytime I'm like, oh my God, I'm so fucking behind. Like, I'm so that, like, and I don't mean this in like an asshole way, but like, I'll see people who like, I think about a lot that I'm very, I'm sad that I didn't go to like acting school. Like, I wish I had done that, but it was not in the cards for me. It was never going to happen. Could not have fucking afforded that. And also, like, I learn best. I don't learn best in that environment, but I'm jealous of people who do. And then I'm like, oh God, I would be so much farther along, so much better. And then I'll see people who are like, just graduated from like a great school, wonderful program. And then they'll post their self-tape and like, they don't know how to do it yet. And they're like, they look at the camera for a spot, or like they paused for too long, or something has happened there that I'm like, oh, that's like a skill set that I have learned afterwards there, that like, just because you did everything textbook right, there are things that you know that I will learn hands-on. There are things that I have learned that it's a back and forth kind of thing, that like, no one's ever late. Like, this is something that will take a really long time, and you'll know when you should quit, and you should quit when you don't, it doesn't bring you joy anymore. And also, like, that you don't have that fire and you don't have that drive. When it becomes something that you're like, I don't like this, I don't want to do it, but to kind of think ahead, to be like, well, I want to make the right decision for me in five years, giving up on your dreams is not the right decision for 5 years in the future you. Like, it's never going to be the right call. It's like, I don't know, I'm a firm believer, and like, you keep trying forever, because like, having the courage to try and to put yourself out there is A, the most marketable skill ever, but it's a talent. And if you stop trying, it's not going to happen. Like, you have to get used to trying and be comfortable trying. And I think there's something really I love people who try.
And be comfortable with failure too. Because like, you're going to hear a lot of notes in creative spaces. Like, you're just gonna, that's just part of the job. You're gonna hear probably more no's than yeses. And like, I was just touching back on what Megan was saying with about building a community, but like, build it, like, find the community, find the talks. Like, I'm constantly going to like seminars or like hearing producers and directors and writers talk, and sometimes I've been like one of like two people in it when there's like a huge, because there's always stuff going on, especially like I'm talking specifically in our industry, especially right now during like Oscar bait season. Like, there's so many things going on, and so like, sometimes people don't hear about certain events or like they're already going to some other events. And I'll be like one or two people like sitting here talking to some of the biggest people in the industry. And like other times I could be teaching whatever's going on, but it's still just like another connection to someone else that I didn't know before that knows my name now that didn't know it. So like always be putting yourself in like situations where you can hear people that have more experience than you talk, or even if they're at the same level of you talk and like learn more things. Like, again, you just graduated. Yeah. You don't have the experience. Like the reality of it is you don't have the experience. You won't have it for a while, but you need to be putting yourself in situations where you can gain more experience. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be things that you're going to be getting paid for right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's also like you're very lucky in this specific art that you can post animations you make on TikTok. Like you can post those like you can build your reel, not what's it, portfolio. You can build it yourself and do it yourself, and the marketing of that, and like you can't be precious with your art at this stage. So like you have to just throw things at the wall and see if they stick. But they need to get off your computer. They need to get off like wherever they're living, and you need to like put them out there and not just to prospective employers. Like you need to like put it out on social media, put it out on YouTube, put it out wherever that is. Because you need something to hold you accountable for producing the art that you're producing, because you can't build that kind of thing alone. Like, you know, like there's something like when people like take 10 years to like release like a perfect album, and they're like, it has to be perfect. And they don't let anyone else listen to it. You become your own worst critic, and you become your own demise there. Like you have to get comfortable making shit and throwing it out there and hating it 5 minutes later, and then not taking it down and being like, okay. And then moving on. It's like not being precious, which is something that I struggle with. I very have a hard time not being precious with things. And so it's a practice. I have to practice not being precious with it and just trying.
And even like my art that I do for fun, like my fan fiction that I've been working on for like over 10 years, and I've won numerous awards for it. Sometimes like I'll write a chapter and I absolutely hate it. And I'm like, I just need to get it done because I know what the next thing is going to be, because I that plot point I love so much, but it's just like, this is the bridge that's going to get me here. And I don't like this, but I'll post and people will give like the best, like, I love this so much. This was so good. I found this funny, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck? I didn't like it, but like, I knew I just had to get it out there.
Yeah. Our own taste is like truly some of the most inconsequential aspect of producing what you make. Like you can make, there are people who have made some of the, have made Oscar award-winning wonderful movies. And if you can do the deep dive on IMDb to know who I'm talking about, there is someone who has made literally an Oscar-winning movie who was, I was working with on something else, and I went, what do you, like, okay, you seem very cool, they're great, got along with them well, they told me what they were doing, and they were putting the fucking hours in and their dues in to do the other thing that they wanted to do. And then I was in a I was at a movie theater, and I went, oh my God, someone's making her movie. This is devastating. And then I see her name at the end. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, she did it. Like, she really, like, grinded it out and, like, made things that, like, are in nowhere comparable to the other stuff. Like, your portfolio, your reel, like, everything, whether or not you're showing it to prospective employers, but, like, you should be able to see drastic growth. You should be able to see, and, like, huge amounts of, like, you can do everything and all of these things. And you have your specialties. But I just think that you're so at the beginning of this, and if you let this like negative self-talk or other people's opinions infiltrate it, truthfully, you will never get there. If you take any of this in, because like you, now's the time to be building like resilience and building like being fucking scrappy. So like, don't let them tear you down at all, because law school is not a backup plan. And if it is a backup plan, you can go to law school and 25 years.
But do you know how many lawyers that I've had that I know personally and also have had on numerous podcasts that were like, that have been in your position where they were like, I didn't know what else to do. My family was pressuring me to go to law school. So I went to law school. I hated it. I did it for years. I made some money, but I did not like this. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing this. For example, I had, I just directed an audiobook by a woman that's a deaf doula. She went to law school, like she went to like Ivy League schools.
Oh my God.
Never wanted to actually be a lawyer, but mm-hmm. people told her to do it. She was like, whatever. She did it. She went, worked for a nonprofit, still wasn't like getting the fulfillment because she couldn't help everybody yeah. in the way that she wanted to. She would travel around the world. And then on one trip, she met this woman who, like, they were both going to some place in Costa Rica, I believe. And just like talking about they ended up like the other woman had saved her a spot so that she could get her ticket and then board on this bus that was going to be like a 6-hour trip. That woman made somebody next to her like switch spots so they could sit next to each other. And that woman had just, she's in her late 30s and had just been diagnosed with cancer. And that's why she was on the trip. And then the woman that I was directing, that this is her life story, she like started learning like about this woman's process for how she's like preparing for death. She's in recovery, so she didn't end up dying. Yeah. But like
wow.
from that was like her jumping off point to being like, what is this? And then I'm not going to get into it because I think everyone should read the book.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the description. But like, she eventually stumbled upon a career as a deaf doula.
Yeah.
And she's like giving TED talks about it. And she like loves, like, this is her true calling. But I know numerous people that have gone to law school and dropped out. On a lot of podcasts that I produce, there's been numerous people that they went to law school and then dropped out, or not dropped out. They went practice law for a couple of years and then found their actual passion.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of the people who are giving you that advice are people who took that advice and they need it to have been worthwhile. So then they try and give the advice to other people. It's mm-hmm. just...
Or they hate the career they're in and they're like, I hate a career that I'm in that could make more money. Uh-huh. And so I'm going to like make other people feel like failures or whatever. Like I feel like I'm being encouraging, telling them that they should go to law school or whatever mm-hmm. field it is.
Yeah, I have anyone I know who went to law school or is a lawyer has never once said, I recommend people to do it because just go for it. If you're not sure, just do it. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. anybody who is like, if you're like not that interested, like, and you're wondering what to do with your life, just go to law school. Everyone's like, go to grad school for the arts if you yeah. can. Like, go do something like that. So, yeah, this is, you got to be in this for the long haul and tune out anyone else. Because you'll be your own worst critic. You don't need other people. You need other people to be like, to believe in you when mm-hmm. the moments and you can't believe in yourself. But right now you have to believe in you. Wow. We're so inspiring. I'm invigorated.
Is our second day, our second time today giving career advice, but this time it was on mic.
That's true. And of course, everything's related to both of our career fields and our paths, but yeah, love that. Well, is that our last one?
That is our last one.
Oh, amazing. Well, we hope you all enjoyed this episode. If you did, you could always leave us a review on the podcast app as well as Spotify. You can leave a review for the specific episode. Join us on Patreon. Like we said before, very affordable. We have bi-monthly, which I would like us to get rid of the term bi-monthly because the idea it can mean twice a month or every other month is like, no. Like that mm-hmm. is... It's so fucking...
We've gone through this.
I hate it. It pisses me off. So we do it twice a month and you can hang out. It's really wonderful. It's fun. And we also have the video versions of this podcast as well as our other podcasts. So if you're brand new here, stay tuned tomorrow. We have our See You Next Tuesday episode where we catch up. We talk. It's fun. Very cash. And then on... not on Wednesday. And on Thursday we have But Am I Wrong? Where someone once described it as Don't Blame Me is when you ask for advice and then... But Am I Wrong is when you don't take our advice and how to deal with the aftermath. So mm-hmm. it's a good way to describe it. And the fun part about that is people vote. You vote over on our Instagram story about all the topics on said episode. And then on Fridays, we have Fisting Friday, where we read the results of the prior episode. Or if we've been in a kind of like, this episode haven't had as much, we just use it as a hangout or we skip it entirely.
So, and that's the beauty of having quote unquote bonus episodes.
Exactly. Because they're bonus. And anything else? Cool. Write in, call in. You'll hear from us soon. Wait for our letters.
Bye.
Bye. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa D. Montz, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production sound and editing by Coco Lorenz.
Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
And music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter.